military infiltration in the region, which poses a direct threat to U.S. allies such as Israel or the Kurds, who have been targets of Iranian and Turkish military campaigns in Syria and Iraq.
That's Jennifer Breeden. Mainstream media outlets continue praising Kim Jong-un's sister at the 2018 Winter Olympics, commenting on her elegant demeanor and smile, but experts warn against that as she heads the regime's propaganda initiative, which has brainwashed its people. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
On February 16th, from PureFlix,
Samson, chosen by the living God,
a hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
The Pentagon receives the biggest budget request in recent times on Monday, with more than $700 billion to add thousands of new troops, new weapons, higher pay and benefits, and upgrade existing resources. It's also believed to be more in defense spending than the two nations cited as America's biggest threats, China and Russia, combined spending. The money, part of the Trump administration's $4.4 trillion budget request, would provide the Pentagon $617 billion in its base budget and about $60 billion for overseas operations accounts. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders emphasizing Monday that the president supports victims of domestic violence, a statement that comes as the West Wing's response to former aide Rob Porter enters its second week. The president supporting victims of domestic violence, she says, believing that anybody should be treated fairly and with due process. The comment coming after Trump told reporters in the Oval Office on Friday that the White House hopes Porter, who has been accused of abusing two of his ex-wives, has a wonderful career. Critics say the president's remarks coming off as tone deaf. This is USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The Foundation for Individual Rights, known as FIRE, releases the list of America's 10 worst colleges for free speech. John Clements has more.
Each year, colleges across the country find dubious ways to silence student and faculty expression. I spoke to Marika Todhill-Bakun of FIRE, who tells us the annual list that is on their website has a dual purpose.
One, put pressure on the schools to make changes, but also to highlight the trends that we see at college campuses nationwide to bring attention to some of the ways that free speech does come under attack.
I'm John Clemens.
If you've been around for a while, you'll remember a popular comedian that's just passed away, USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
Kinky-haired, baby-faced Marty Allen rose to fame as half of the comedy duo Allen and Rossi in the 50s and 60s, but he and partner Steve Rossi amicably split in 1968, and Allen began a solo comedy career.
I come back here right in the lot outside. A woman walks over. You're really Marty Allen? Yes, ma'am. Is this the way you look when you're not on television? Yes, ma'am. Thank goodness. I thought there was something wrong with my glasses.
Allen also did some dramatic acting, appearing on many TV dramas, and became known as the darling of daytime TV for many appearances on game shows like Hollywood Squares. Allen died in Las Vegas on Monday at the age of 95. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News.
So, hi, this is Joe Peters, and we're getting ready to get our show started. We're going to talk about 55 plus today. I do real estate 1 week and seniors the next. This happens to be a seniors week. I have a guest with me named Fred Sade. Say hello, Fred.
Hello.
Hey, you're coming through loud and clear. We're going to give you an overview on what to think about when you're in the throes of planning for your retirement. Fred has an amazing repertoire of information. So we're going to play the weather and a few commercials, and we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm back with the official weather. This is coming to you from the official world of Android. And what we're taking a look at is it's 37 degrees downtown Flemington right now. It is going to go down to 20, it'll probably hit 40, go down to 27 tonight, up to 51 tomorrow. Nice day. 42 overnight tomorrow, and then 62 on Thursday. Get the suntan lotion out. Little bit of rain Wednesday night, a little bit of rain Thursday night, and I guess when weather changes, that means we're going to have some rain. It looks like it's going to be raining on Friday, but it's going to stay up in the 57s and then drop down around 40 on Sunday and clear up. So we'll be right back. We're going to play a few of our paid commercials, including my own, and then Fred and I will hopefully fill in the blanks on whatever you wanted to know on retirement planning.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de familia a familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and you just heard my real estate commercial. I like to say I help people achieve their goals and dreams across both Hunterdon and Somerset County from a residential real estate viewpoint. And if you really want to understand what's going on, my broadcast from last week was on Facebook. There's a replay on my channel, Joseph Peters Real Estate, and you can go take a look at it there. Today we're going to spend a little bit of time with Fred, who is an alumni, I don't know if that's the right word, but he and I belong to a group together. We met, we had breakfast. I was fascinated not only by his background, but by his insight as to what's going on, both in the financial markets and in the thoughts about retiring. So, Fred, why don't we start by going backwards and coming forward? Tell us about your education and background.
Sure. I have my PhD from Duke University, have my master's from Duke, have my MBA from Duke, and my undergraduate degree from a local university before I left for North Carolina,
okay,
which I lived for many years. I went the traditional route, became a teacher, and as we started to build a family, I branched out into consulting. It's one of the wonderful things for having graduate assistants. They do a lot of your work.
Right.
And from there, I decided that I liked the consulting world a lot better than the teaching world. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
And so I became a full-time consultant, eventually working for a number of large, publicly traded consulting firms, and retired from that. I had enough years in to decide to do something else with my life, and I decided in 1997 to not replicate what I had done in the past, but because of my experience, my knowledge, and also because of my age, I thought that there would be an opportunity for me to address the very, very confused and confusing retirement situation in this country.
Okay.
At one time, it was very simple. Life expectancy wasn't that long. You retired. You maybe had a pension. You had Social Security. You converted everything to a fixed income annuity. And in 4 or 5 years, you were dead and life was over.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. Longevity is extraordinary. Your listeners may recall that in the summer of 2015, Time magazine had on its cover an infant and saying the first person to live to age 110 has already been born.
Right.
And it might even go longer than that. It could be age 140, it could be age 150 with all the genome research and the ability to go in and fix genes. Who knows? There may not be any limit to how long we can live. Now, there may be moral issues and ethical issues
right
about that, but there may not be a cap on lifespan. In any case, right now, the Social Security Administration says a man can live about to age 84, a woman to about age 86. So when you're planning out for retirement, you really have to think that retirement can last 30 years.
Right.
And that's a very difficult thing to swallow, because for some people, retirement can last longer than the 20 or 25 years they actually worked. And the challenge then is, how do you manage your nest egg so you don't run out of money? And if you're married, you have to manage it for two lifetimes,
right,
and not just one lifetime. That's a real challenge today.
I know last year we had a dinner in Hunterdon County. It's a fundraiser, but we were sort of not roasting, but feeding, whatever the right word is, the woman who set up all of our aging programs. And she herself's now in her 70s. And the fellow from that runs the hospital system, Bob Wise, said, and he's more of a businessman. He's not a doctor, okay? Mm-hmm. And a very, very astute businessman. I met him through the Leadership Hunterdon program 2 years ago. And he said, think about it. He says, for every year we live, the life expectancy is going up 1.25 years currently. Now, the opioid took a little dent out of that. But
yeah.
Putting that aside, he said, let me just give you, he said, just what you said. People would retire. They lived 10, 12, 14 years. It was over. He said, now, he said, it's not like you're going to live forever because of this. It just means a person born in 2018 is going to live 1.25 years longer than if they were born in 2000. That's the life expectancy. It depends on a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. He said, but just to extrapolate that out to 2025 or 30, I forget which year it was, he says, our life expectancy may be up to about 130 years.
It's very possible. That's a very realistic number.
So his point was twofold. One, we're outliving our money.
Yes.
And two, because half the genes in your children are somebody else's, a lot of times we're outliving our children.
That's possible, too.
And we're winding up in Hunterdon County, which is either number one or two in a nation, depending on the year we look at it, in household income, with a lot of people that are in their 90s or further. We actually had the oldest woman in the country until I think it was this time last year. She was 114. The only problem with the title of being the oldest person in the country is you don't get to keep it for long.
Still significant.
Very, very impressive. But he said now we have people that are astute, that are sort of self-sufficient, but have either run out or are running out of money, and their children, there's nobody here to take care of them. And then Hunterdon, complexity-wise, lacks three things, and they're all infrastructure. One is mass transportation, there is none.
Sure.
The other is city water, city sewer. So a lot of our residencies are rural. People live on 10, 20, 30 acres. They've lived there all their life. We can't get help out to them, even if we could find the help to get out. So it's a complex problem. But you said that maybe a good place to start is what's happening in the markets or what's not happening.
Well, let me sort of characterize this so it's not too confusing for the average listener. To start with Federal Reserve policy, everybody knows and remembers what happened in 2008. This is a little bit of Freakonomics. It actually started in 2007. The Federal Reserve dropped interest rates in 2007 to try to prevent the crash. It didn't work,
right.
And we had the crash in 2008. The Federal Reserve forced interest rates down to zero. They forced commodity prices down significantly and didn't leave people much choice except to go into the marketplace, and that was fed by the capital markets.
Okay.
Now, we've had no real fiscal policy for a decade. Under the Tax and Jobs Act, suddenly we have a fiscal policy. Well, it's like taking a car that's been parked, taking it from park to drive and stomping your foot on the accelerator, and suddenly you're doing 70 miles an hour.
Right.
And that's exactly what has happened here. The markets are forward-looking. They're not backward-looking. They're forward-looking, and they are anticipating what might happen 6 months or more out. And what you're now seeing is not what is actually happening in reality, but what might happen. In the future. So what might happen would be higher interest rates, normalizing of interest rates. And what you are also seeing is we had an aberration. Everybody knows that stocks and bonds are supposed to operate differently. But because of Federal Reserve policy, they were, to use a term, they were highly correlated. Correlation means they act in the same way. They're not supposed to.
Right.
They're supposed to act opposite of each other, but they did not. They acted the same. So in the unwinding now, that's starting. The purpose, part of the purpose, is to make stocks and bonds act the way they're supposed to act. Now, there is real concern that on top of this, if we continue to add to the debt, that will drive up interest rates and that will reduce growth. So you have to remember that the Trump administration is assuming that interest rates stay low at 3%, and they're also assuming 4% growth. Let's stay with that number for a minute, because if you increase the debt to the extent that they're talking about it, $1.5 trillion of additional debt, $1.7 trillion, that should take about 0.5% growth off. So you're not talking about 4%, you're talking maybe 3.5%, and that's a best case scenario. Could be less, and it would depend on where interest rates go. Now, I did listen with one ear, I admit, to the statement by the new head of the Federal Reserve, and he is very cautious right now and concerned about where we're going, but it's not clear that there's a lot of room to maneuver because the interest rates are low. There's no place to go anymore. So one of the reasons for raising interest rates before was so you have room to lower them. You don't right now. The other thing to talk about is mathematical trading, or you hear the term program trading, but this is trading being done through mathematical formulas that have been trained, and they're called algorithms. And it's just a fancy name for a series of mathematical formulas that are trained to act in a particular way. And when there's a lot of volatility going on in the market, and volatility is just a lot of activity going on, then the algorithms are going to sell and convert to cash. And so it would take time to train new algorithms to act differently than these do. So what you're seeing now, because as the market starts to stabilize, you see, again, these are large institutional traders. If the Federal Reserve continues to raise interest rates, sell bonds, then that will put pressure on the capital markets, and they won't be able to fund expansion. So this is a combination of all the things that you are seeing right now and why this volatility is going to continue, at least in the short term.
So
at least through 2018.
My minor knowledge of it compared to yours is that there was quantitative easing for years and years, and this year we started to quantitatively unease, which
That's
is what
correct.
You said about the bonds. And the result of it from a real estate viewpoint is it kept interest rates artificially low.
Yes.
Now, I mean, when Mr. Trump was elected, we were at 3 3/8. We went up to about 4 3/8, and we came down and stayed under 4 3 7/8 for months, a year almost. Now, in a week's time, or since we've saw this volatility of the market, we've gone up to 4.5%. 4 3/8 this morning, 4.5, depends on your credit, depends on your assets. That means it's 4.5% more expensive to buy a house this week than it was last week because of the interest rates, 9% for every full point it raises. And what it does, we say it's sort of good because it makes people jump into the market because they're afraid it's going to go higher. So as a real estate agent, it's good, except that what I mentioned this morning is we're devoid of any inventory. So there's nothing to sell these people. And the reason we're devoid is that the baby boomers have not traded up the way the last generation did and bought the mega mansions. Most of them are staying where they're put for a lot of reasons too complicated to talk about in the next month. The building industry is not building entry-level housing, and as a result, there's just a few people that would sell aren't selling because they're afraid as soon as they put it on, it'll be sold, and they have no place to move yet.
Right.
We're in a quandary. I think it will ease up as we get more listings as the year goes on, but I don't think it's going to go away.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. The thing that's so fascinating is that if you look at the 10-year Treasury, which really is the pricing mechanism, it's only up 20 basis points from where it was a week ago, and yet you have all this panic increases. So again, it's all this forward looking, all this anticipated inflation, none of which is occurring, but we have to remember the market is always forward-looking. It's always ahead by at least 6 months of where the actual economy is.
I was watching one of the financial channels the other day, and they were saying that at least 30% of the trading is done by hedge funds each day, which is what you just described.
Yes, because the hedge funds bring capital to the market.
Right.
You know, as you remember, in 2008, that was the end of the market makers, those guys that ran around in those funny-looking jackets and were screaming and yelling, you know, and waving and doing all those absurd things. But they don't exist anymore. The New York Stock Exchange is totally computerized, and most of the computers are in New Jersey. The New York Stock Exchange is located in New Jersey, in Mahwah and Secaucus.
I had seen a program where they're winding the cable around to slow trades down as they went across the river.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you look at the exchange, you'll see these guys are looking at the screen and doing and watching the Bloomberg terminal.
Yeah.
I mean, they have nothing to do with it. Most of it is automated.
So one of the things, and I know I was involved in it back when we had the market crash, and I guess it was the late 80s. And whatever is, you get into computerized trading, which means I, Joe Peters, say I'm buying this stock at $50, and if it ever hits 40, just sell it. And what happens is I am not watching the computer, and it hits 40 and it sells, and somebody else says it hits 38, sell, and somebody else says it hits 30, and the computers take over. So they put the stop gap in probably Reagan was still around or shortly thereafter to say, if the market ever moves so much percentage, shut the market down for an hour so we can shut the computers off. Is that still being done?
Well, that you just raised a very interesting question called hedging.
Okay.
If you perfectly hedge, you eliminate 100% of risk, and there's no point in being in the market. So if you're going to make any money, in other words, whether the market goes up or down, you can make money.
Yep.
Depending on what position you want to take.
You're betting, right.
So you can't perfectly hedge. You have to take some degree of risk. It's just a question of how much risk you want to take, either on the upside or risk that you want to take on the downside. But it's up to you to determine how you're going to do that. And it's very easy. I mean, people can use any of the online brokerages, take an online course given by that brokerage, and learn how to do this kind of trading. And then they can open up a shadow account and practice on it, and then when they're ready, they can buy a stock. It's going to be in the money or out of the money, and then they can bet on it. And if they lose, the worst thing is they own the stock. If they win, they make some money, and somebody else has to buy it.
It's gotten so sophisticated and so instantaneous, it's almost inconceivable. I remember calling for stock quotes in the middle of the night when the market was fluctuating just to see what's now. The market's open around the clock just about, other than the New York market.
Yeah, you can trade after hours or before hours, and you get market movement.
Right.
People can bet in the casino anytime they want. In a sense, it's like Las Vegas. It's open 24/7.
Wow. Amazing. So we're talking today about, I like to label this show that 10 years ago I couldn't spell senior. Now I are one. And for those who are one with me, what does this mean to them and what are their options? I mean, a lot of people are just starting to retire. Some people, one is retired, everyone's still working. Others have just entered into their retirement. You had laid out some tremendous options, like using Social Security first versus last when you retire, the streams. And why don't you go through some of the concerns there?
Let me start with Social Security. I became a Social Security planner about 7 years ago by accident. Clients were asking me questions about Social Security. I did not know the answer to the questions. There was no place to go to find it. There were no books. I tried the reference librarian in the county library. It was just hopeless. And I became kind of friendly with the Social Security people, calling down to their number down in Baltimore to get information. But I realized that wasn't a real solution. There had to be a way to figure out what you could do. And somebody, through networking, referred me to somebody else who was developing a program, which eventually was sold to somebody else, and they put the money behind it and brought it out. And I've been using that program ever since. So the issue is how do you because most people lack a pension plan, and Social Security was never intended to be a pension plan. Yet on the average Social Security amount is about $1,356. That's average. In New Jersey, it tends to be higher. But depending on your birth year, you are entitled to have a strategy. Now, the Balanced Budget Act of 2015 curbed and in fact eliminated eventually one strategy, and it put a second strategy on a time limit. The Tax and Jobs Act accelerated the time limit, and that strategy will end within 2 years. And so after that, and if you've been born, and in any case, if you were born after January 1st, 1954, you have to claim based on your age. And there are still, and if you're married, you still have scenarios depending on your date of birth and your spouse's date of birth. And it doesn't matter whether it's heterosexual or not. Mm-hmm. The Social Security treats you as married, regardless of sexual orientation.
Okay.
So the strategies apply. Also, there are strategies if you are divorced and were married for 10 years. You have the right to claim against your former spouse unless you remarry, and then you lose that right.
Right.
And there's no limitation on it. So there's that famous Johnny Carson story where he had a current wife and three exes, and all four claimed on his work record.
As long as they each were married for him for 10 years and didn't remarry.
That's right. And all four got different amounts. So the Johnny Carson rule, there's no limit. Nobody has beaten four yet, but somebody probably. Every record gets broken, so who knows? The fact of the matter is that Social Security on average now is replacing between 40% and 60% percent of pre-retirement income. And with a strategy, it's a husband and a wife with a strategy can get over $50,000 a year from Social Security. So if the average pension runs around $60,000, that's pretty close to that pension. And Social Security is also taxed preferentially. There are two levels of taxation in Social Security. The nasty part about Social Security, let me step back. If Social Security is your only income, it's tax-free. Not only at the federal level, it's tax-free in the state of New Jersey. In New Jersey, you do not pay tax on Social Security. But if you have other income, the Congress created something called provisional income. And provisional income is a set of formulas. So if if you have a pension, for example, your Social Security is automatically taxed. If a married couple earns over $32,000, then 50% of their Social Security will be taxed. If they earn over $44,000, 85% of their Social Security will be includable to be taxed. Doesn't mean it's taxed at that rate, it's just includable.
Right.
At that rate. So in the worst case, 15% is tax-free. Now, there's nothing wrong with tax-free income. I've never heard anybody complain about getting tax-free income, but that's the fact that these threshold amounts were set in the Reagan and Clinton administrations. They have never been indexed for inflation. And, of course, as incomes increase over time, doesn't mean you're getting an increase in your pay every year, but it does increase over time. It catches more and more and more people. The other nasty thing about provisional income is that it includes every single form of income, including tax-free municipal bonds. If your Social Security is taxable, the munis are taxable. The only exception would be Roth and loans from life insurance. There's no other exceptions.
And the other thing that gets buried in there has always ticked me off is they take Social Security out again on that income.
That's correct.
And your Social Security never goes up again. It's never used to reindex your Social Security.
Well, yes, and now you just nailed it. That's technically called deeming, and it's based on your both your birth date and the age at which you claim. So all that deeming means, and it's a very circular definition, what it simply means is that once you apply for Social Security, you are considered, I'm going to say considered instead of deemed.
Hmm.
That's what it says, actually. It says deemed, but considered to have qualified for all the benefits that you are entitled to. Now, there's an urban legend going around. I have no idea where it comes from, but somebody has spread the idea that if you apply early, say at age 62, and it tends to be women who tend to apply early,
right,
than men, and so you have more women claiming at 62 than men. There's a legend going around that says that, well, when you get to full retirement age, which is 66 or 67, all of a sudden your Social Security magically puffs up to what you would have been entitled to. It doesn't happen.
No.
Once you claim, that's it. The only thing you can do is you can stop the check, and that will allow the benefit to regrow, but it's never going to regrow to what it would have been had you waited.
And there was a loophole right there called suspend or something, and they took that away.
Yes, claim and suspend was the first to go.
So that the wife could claim, but you didn't take yours.
That's
correct.
Because
if I'm not mistaken, it grows at about 8% compounded annually. It's a great investment.
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, in any environment, 8% right, guaranteed is terrific.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get 8%?
You're not.
So the only strategy that remains beside birth date is the restricted application, and that goes in 2 years.
Okay.
And that's a viable strategy for people born between 52 and 54. But after January 1st of 54, if you were born after January 1st of 1954, you now have to claim on your age.
So that would make you roughly 65 right now, 64.
Correct.
So 65. Now, so these are the people that are probably starting to think, because they're, you know, we used to always say 65, and now it's more like 68, 69, depending on the year you're born, that
yes,
you're really going to do it, although some people still do it at 62 and lose all that compound growth.
Well, they do, and that raises a second issue, and that is that the traditional formulation of income was that you would take Social Security first, you would take a brokerage account that is after-tax income second, you would wait as long as you possibly could, to the point of strangulation almost, to take your tax deferred, your IRA, your 401k.
Right. So minimal.
Yeah.
Over
income. And then last, you would take any Roth income that you had. Now, because the tax rates have dropped, they've dropped dramatically, the truth of the matter is the average tax rate in the 20th century was 70%. There's a couple of exceptions, and that was World War I and World War II. But the average rate was 70%. Now, the average rate right now is 25%.
Wow.
So if you have a tax strategy, then it's important to take advantage of this, bearing in mind that this rate goes in 5 years.
Okay.
And the corporate rates are permanent, or until some Congress in the future decides to
right,
change it. But right now it's permanent. The individual rates are not permanent. They're only, it's 5 years. So whole sections of the tax code are grayed out right now and aren't going to be enforced. 5 years from now, they will be enforced. So that has the impact of how should you take income. So now when you're harvesting income, and you have to do it correctly in a proper order, but now you would look at, you would take your taxable, your tax-deferred income, your IRA or your 401k income, you take that first because the tax rates are low. You would take, you'd maximize your Social Security. If between the two of those you can get to your income goal, stop. If you can't, then you would want to increase your IRA or your 401k or what, right. anything that hasn't been taxed because the rates are low, you would want to hold on to and cherish your after-tax stuff because there's no great value in harvesting it unless there's a reason that you need, and this comes through tax planning, that you want to harvest capital gains. Now, here's another aspect. More than 50% of retail investors are in exchange-traded funds. And one of the reasons for them is that they're inexpensive, they're easy to buy, they're easy to sell. But one of the problems is that it increases the volatility because the retail investor is selling like crazy to get out of the market.
Right.
But there's another issue, and that is when you buy a mutual fund or a stock, your gain is a combination of yield and capital gains. There's no capital gain on an exchange-traded fund. There's just ordinary income. So there's no great benefit to that other than the ease of buying and selling. But for capital appreciation, it's not there because the capital gain is not there. So when you're harvesting income, you want to look at capital gains and whether or not you have an opportunity to harvest them. Now, you have to make a decision. Do I want to harvest them at the lower rates today, or do I want to wait when the income rates go up and the capital gain rates will probably stay the same? Because it's the capital gain that is the key. So if we go back to the Clinton administration was teetering on the verge of a recession, and President Clinton was persuaded, shall I say, to cut capital gain rates, and that, boom, it unleashed the economy because you had the capital markets came to life immediately, and you had activity. And the rate was cut to that 20% max rate.
So is it safe to say, Fred, that if you are totally in control 3 or 4 or 6 months ago, mm-hmm. it's worth a fresh look because so many things changed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No one should think of a retirement plan as built in brick and steel and stone.
Right.
You have to look at that as a living document. You know, if... the thing that I like to say all the time is that if you are flying on an airplane and the pilot took off from Newark Airport or Philadelphia Airport, put it on autopilot and came back to chat with you in the cabin, how would you feel?
Yeah.
So you obviously would not like that, and your program shouldn't be on autopilot because you don't know what you don't know, and
right.
you don't know how you're being affected. I know of people who come in and bring in a shoebox full of brokerage receipts and notices that they've gotten monthly and quarterly and annually, and I look at this and say, when was the last time you opened one of these? And they say, I can't remember. I said, well, they say, I'm afraid to look at it.
Yep. There used to be a commercial, and I think it was the Bond Trader. I'm trying to go to his name. David Lerner used to run. He used to say, is your 401k now a 201k? Are you afraid to open your statement every month? And so many of us went through that during it. The margin calls were like, my
sure.
God, you were afraid to answer the phone call there for about 3 years. This is Joe Peters once again. I'm sitting here talking with Fred Sade, PhD. Fred is the principal at Money Matters USA, just the way it sounds. And he can be reached at fred.s@moneymattersusa.guru, G-U-R-U. I've not seen that before. Or easiest way is just to pick up the phone and call him, 908-791-3831. He's at extension 1. Fred is based here in central New Jersey. And I'm Joe Peters, and I'm at 908-238-0118. We've got we're sitting here at probably less than 15 minutes to go. What should we make sure we talk about in the next 15 minutes? And it's not to say we can't come back in 3 or 4 weeks and pick up where we left off.
Well, I would say that it's time to, for many people, to revisit something that they take as an article of faith, and that's the 4% rule. The 4% rule was invented by a fellow named Bill Bengen. And Bengen took a portfolio of 60% equities and 40% bonds. He did some mathematical formula, and he said that if you took 4% every year and you increase that by the annual inflation rate, well, lo and behold, that portfolio could last 30 years. Now, if you try to make it last 31 years or 32 years, it wouldn't.
Right.
So the 30 years was deliberately chosen. Now, I'm not knocking or criticizing Bengen, but that was the absolute rule of thumb for many, many years. And the 60-40 allocation has worked for many years as well. Well, there's been a lot of research, particularly since 2008, because of the low yield and the fact that bonds and stocks were behaving identically. You couldn't, they shouldn't, but they were behaving as though they were one asset class. And to make a long story short, the mathematical research and the mathematical models found that the maximum amount you could take was between 2.8% and 3%.
Wow.
Now, if you're going to rely on the markets, the research also said that in an up market, you could take more than 5%. You could take 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but you had to set it aside. So, in other words, you didn't adjust your living expenses. You put it away as a side fund, as an emergency fund to be drawn on. And so, in this kind of market where the market is going down, you are not taking money out of this market. Because you know you have the risk is against you now,
right?
And so you would go to that emergency fund and take money from that, and that is for those who are dependent on the market. The other alternative that a number of researchers and mathematicians, also working in this 8 to 10 year time frame. Did the research and said, what could we do that would make people a little bit less dependent on the market for their income? And so, of course, we have bonds, bond ladders. There are always a risk with bonds because of the strange way they behave. And suddenly, we had a renewed interest in deferred income annuities. Now, I know that that people listening say, oh, annuities, don't talk to me about annuities. Well, most people like what annuities do for them, and the main thing that they do is guarantee a lifetime income, even if no principal remains. So imagine going to your bank and saying to them, will you pay me an income if I have no principal left? And you know what the answer is going to be.
They only pay much if you do have
right.
one.
So the easiest way to a deferred income annuity works on the basis of risk shifting, of risk pooling. The simplest way is called mortality credits. The simplest way to explain it, and the one that I always use, is three widows from Chicago go to Miami Beach, and they play cards for their four-week vacation, and they take pennies out of each pot. And by the time they go home, there's $400 in the pot, and they agree to come back the next year. And if they're all alive, they will again put in out of each pot, and they would have $800. And they do that for 2 years, and in the third year, one of them dies.
Okay.
And so the three now divide $800, and that's the same principle. That's called the mortality credit. So the longer you live, you're living on the mortality credits.
Right.
You're not living on your own principal. And so suddenly, the deferred income annuity became very popular because it became a reliable source of income when fit in properly with the rest of a portfolio to provide a baseline of income to pay bills. And the easiest way to think about it is when you're working, you either created your own paycheck or somebody paid you. When you retire, you have to create your own paycheck. And what you need to do is pay yourself.
Right.
So that's what you're attempting to do. You can't suddenly.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, you can't suddenly. If you're spending $100 a week on food, maybe you can cut that to 90. You can't cut it to 30.
So then the major components are Social Security, any investments you may have other than Social Security, pension.
Yes.
And you may still work for a while. And so
yes.
the thing that needs the managing the most, because there's not much you can do with Social Security other than take it first versus second, is manage the amount of income that you have had put away as investments and decide whether I take Social Security first or last, if I take pension second or third. Those are all complex decisions, and it probably differs for everybody that you talk to.
Yeah, it does differ, and you have to run through the scenarios for them, because again, it's not a one shot decision.
Right.
If that person is going to live 30 plus years, and that nest egg has to last for two lifetimes, what works today or next week or next year may not work 3 years.
Just
from now.
Just based on the financial markets changing.
Yeah, the markets.
Reassessment.
And we already know that they're going to change the rules on us from taxes right now, 5 years out. But who's to stop a future Congress from going in and amending this?
Right. And this, let's say, worst or best case scenario, that we change parties again in 4 years. Every party's going to rip apart what this party ripped apart, because that's what we've been doing for the last 16 or 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's sort of disheartening to see that we are more in a fight with each other than trying to resolve the problems of the country. But it isn't Democratic or Republican based. They've both done it. It just seems a little nastier than it's ever been right now. But
that's true. You know, the thing that you have to be driven by is by math and science. When you're uncertain and you're being pulled this way and that way, and somebody's trying to pull your arms out of your sockets, the only safe thing to do is look at the math and the science and see what makes the most sense for you. People are similar, but they are not identical.
Yep.
So each person, each family is going to have a unique set of circumstances and a unique set of problems that they want to solve. There are some problems that people want to solve that keep them up at night. These are the first thing they think about when they wake up, the last thing they think about when they go to sleep, or sometimes they just sit up at night and say, I can't sleep because I'm really worried about this. These are the kinds of issues that have to be solved. Everybody has a retirement. The definition of retirement has changed dramatically as people have more leisure now, and they don't want to fully retire. So we have this fancy term called the hybrid retirement, which, Joe, is exactly what you said, where people work part-time or they work some, in retirement. It's got a fancy name, but that's what it is. And some people are fortunate. They can start another career, or they can work part-time in a hobby, or they're even more fortunate. They can give up some responsibility, train their replacement, and still work for the same company, not work as hard or have that much responsibility,
and
but
there's
still money coming in.
I'm seeing more and more, and it's an interesting happening. I don't know what the right word for it is, but a lot of people haven't sold a house at the end of 7 or 8 years, which they typically did because it was in 08, 09, 10.
Yeah.
And now they're looking at the equity, and because they passed the 10-year mark on their mortgage, they're paying equity down, they're paying interest down quicker than ever, and having more equity than they ever thought they would have, and saying, wow, maybe this is the time to start a business.
That's a super point, because home equity, for some people, that's the largest amount of savings that they have, greater even than in their retirement plan. So it can be another business. It can be a relocation, and that rest of that money be used to produce income and growth, or it can be used cleverly to provide some form of income or cash reserve. There's been a lot of research has been done, and reverse mortgages have been changed. They're not just for people who are destitute.
No.
They have a lot of sophisticated uses and incorporated into a well.
And never take your house away. There's all those
Gone. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of urban legends.
They only let
that.
You touch 50 or 60% of it. It's been just totally reconstructed in the last couple of years.
You know, the other thing that you can validate this or invalidate this. We don't see a lot of reverse purchases here in New Jersey, but we do see it in warmer climates.
Interesting. Well, and of what Allied Van Lines publishes this article, January says, two out of three people are leaving, one out of three are coming. It's we have a mass migration out of New Jersey for lots and lots and lots of reasons.
Yeah.
We have the same thing right here in Hunterdon County. I interviewed an undertaker, and I said, how many people die a year? And he said, well, I got to think. I said, what do you mean you got to think? It's your business. He says, no. He said, so many people just moved to Pennsylvania because it only costs half to live over there and only 20 miles from here, and I got to take them out of the number I give you. So life has changed. I think that's the biggest thing you can say. We're going to give you two more minutes, but I need to put a disclaimer in. I, as a real estate agent, can't give anybody accounting or financial advice. So I can explain to you what I understand things to be, and I can have guests on like Fred who can explain it as to best his, but you can't take that knowledge that you've heard through a broadcast and put it to work for you without sitting down talking to your financial advisor, or perhaps give Fred a call and talk to him. You can also give me a call. Let me give you Fred's number again, 908-791-3831, and it's Frederick Saide, S-A-I-D-E, and it's Money Markets USA. And I'm Joe Peters, and I'm with Coldwell Banker in Warren Watchung, but I live here in Clinton, and I do all the areas in between, and I can be reached at 908-238-0118. So, Fred, the time is 4:55. We have 2 minutes to go.
Wow, I can't believe the time went that fast.
It always is. I say it's like having a lunch over the radio, and it's over always before it starts. What would you say for those 2 minutes?
The single most important thing I can say to people is take the plan that you have or the worksheets that you've been looking at and see if they hold up to today's reality. Nothing stays the same, and we have to remember that we as individuals are imperfect. An imperfect person cannot create a perfect plan, so there will always be change, and you have to adapt to change and not be set in your ways and say, I'm going to tough this out. You know, this is not like riding out a storm.
Right.
This is a storm, but you have to adapt to it.
Good advice. I think, you know, Marilyn works for the state. She's about 2 years from hanging it up, and we're just this year going to go understand the benefits, because we have questions like what happens to the prescription plan, what happens to the disability plan, whatever, which are great now, but I'm sure they go away to a great extent, if not altogether. You need to look at it from your viewpoint and what you want to do. If you're in great health and you think you could live another 20 or 30 years, you have a whole different challenge ahead of you, because you're
– yes.
What you've amassed may not live 20 or 30 years, which means you may need to keep living. And I'm 70 plus. I've had people on my show. We actually had a 70 plus and still working full-time show here one day. There's a lot of people still working. There's no reason you can't. But there's going to be a point in time where either you don't want to work anymore or you can't work anymore. And that needs some preparation. And that's where people like Fred and other financial advisors come into play, can help you at least ask the right questions and get the right answers. And based on your personal situation, get the best plan put together for you. I'm going to play my overview one more time. And I'm going to give you Fred's phone number one more time. Mine's in my commercial. Fred can be reached at 908-791-3831, extension 1, Fred Saide at Money Matters USA, and his site is moneymattersusa.guru.
The website is .net. moneymattersusa.net.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, that's the
.net. I'm saying guru. It's
no, the
.net.
Email was .guru.
Got it. .guru is his email.
.net is the site.
Got it. So here's my commercial, and we'll talk to you next week, where we're going to get into some things in real estate about seniors. And so it's going to cross both bridges. I'm going to just do a broadcast by myself that day. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
I'm not sure in the 240-some-odd-year history of this nation we've ever faced a competitor and potential adversary of this scale, scope, and capacity. That they are carrying out a well-orchestrated, well-executed, very patient, long-term strategy to replace the United States as the most powerful and influential nation on Earth.
Senator Marco Rubio today at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. Now, many of the nation's top intelligence chiefs testified that they fully expect Russia to seek to disrupt the 2018 midterm elections. Today at the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked about immigration and if we are any closer to immigration reform.
Look, it's up to Congress to set the timeline. The president has laid out the priorities that he has for that legislation, and we're only going to support a legislation that deals with those four priorities that we've laid out. We hope Republicans and Democrats can come together.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now,